For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Greg Brown joins us right now. And Greg, it seems like in some respects, Andrew McCutchen would actually agree with that assessment of things.
Yeah. It's been interesting that they, again, I think Shelton's trying to find some formula that can boost this offense.
But why does the formula include sitting some of their best hitters as often as it has?
Well, yeah, I don't know as often as I heard some suggestions over the weekend. For example, I think we have to take into account who. Now, I've not asked anybody this, but it seems like, for example, I heard some criticism regarding Henry Davis catching on Saturday rather than Bart, I believe is what I heard.
Okay.
And so it seems to me, again, I've not asked Skeens this, but it seems to me that Skeens is comfortable with Davis, just like he was comfortable with Andy Rodriguez. And if, it's a big IF, I'm not saying this is the case, but if indeed Paul Skeens wants whoever it is behind the plate to catch him, if you're the manager, you would certainly, I would anyway, I think you guys would too. Skeens wants this guy to catch him, he's catching him.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, so we agree there. In terms of other players that weren't in the lineup in particular, the Andrew McCutchen stuff, I think, you know, we have to talk to Andrew and Shelton, and I've not done that yet. There seems to be a disconnect in that respect. It seems to me, I read a quote from Andrew that said something about how he was available to pinch hit the other day, but wasn't ready to play the outfield. I think that's pretty close to what he said. You guys can correct me. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So what is it? Now, maybe Andrew wasn't feeling 100%, and maybe that's why. A lot of these times, I think we touched on this last week, a lot of times these managers over the years, believe me, I've listened to it, I've seen it, I've heard, I've criticized, and I've gotten my hand slapped over the years because, stupid me, I didn't check with a player or a manager before the game, before I make the criticism. I remember one time, many, many years ago, I'm old enough to remember when John Candelaria was a player, and when pitchers batted. And I remember one game at Three River Stadium where Candelaria hit like a ground ball to shortstop, and he was barely jogging to first base, and the place just booed the living daylights out of Candelaria. And after the game, Chuck Tanner got really angry. He says, you know, sometimes media and fans don't understand, but Candelaria has been nursing a tight hamstring. And I told him before the game, you know, you hit the ball, you jog to first base. And that's what he was doing. That happens so many times behind closed doors, and we're unaware of this. So it's possible I think that McCutcheon went to Shelton and said, listen, I'm not 100%. You know, I could use a day off. I could pinch hit, but I can't play the outfield. That stuff happens so often. And I'm not, you know, Shelton, the Pirates aren't blameless because stuff happens. I don't understand the Canario pinch hit. That didn't make sense to me. I think what they could have done in the McCutcheon pinch hit scenario, because I heard Shelty say something after the game about how he'd have to make two moves for one if he had pinch hit McCutcheon. In that instance, that was when Cruz was DHing. If you need to, just put Cruz back in center field. It's late in the game. Just because you have Cruz in the DH, he's not locked to that spot. You can put him in center field. You'll just have to pinch hit for the pitcher, which you're going to do anyway, you know, late in the ballgame. So just a lot of moving parts. And this is what happens, boy, when a team struggles, you know, you're looking at all, fingers are pointed everywhere, and I understand it.
Brownie, I was a little bit removed from what the Pirates are doing. I was following on my phone to check, you know, the scores and what have you against Cleveland. I was actually at the home of their AAA affiliate in the late 90s, early aughts, the Nashville Sounds. I was down there. Looked like a very beautiful ballpark that they had built in Nashville. But I cannot help but look at one person in particular who went 0 for the series against Cleveland and struck out four times in the first game of that one. Here we are again with Jack Sawinski, and it just does not feel I mean this. I do not want to pile on the guy. I think he's trying hard, maybe too hard. It can't go much longer. I see Donnie Football and others tweeting, like, how much longer are we going to keep running the Jack Sawinski experiment? Do you think the Pirates are feeling somewhat of the same about him, that they might need to make a move here, to do something with him?
I mean, I imagine they are. I think they probably feel the same way. I think we also have to keep in mind, if we think that those guys behind closed doors aren't trying to desperately find something
I know he is. I know he is trying to jumpstart.
No, I'm not suggesting you are.
It's like nothing seems to be working with him.
Yeah, the general we. They're looking for anything that will get this offense going. They're trying to win. And the conundrum, I think, for the Pirates is, do you keep running Sawinski out there, like some might suggest, throw him out there for a week against every pitcher for at least a week and see what happens. When you are struggling as he is playing sporadically, an occasional start, what, once every 4 or 5 days or so, rarely back-to-back starts.
Isn't that the whole team just about? I mean, everyone's sporadic. The whole squad seems sporadic to me. Greg, that's part of the problem.
Because none of them are hitting on a regular basis.
It seems to me that regular guy, IKF plays every day. I think Frazier plays about every day. Pham plays about every day. Reynolds plays every day. Hayes plays about every day. But there are some, that move around. And you've got to, make a decision. And I don't know what their reasoning is behind playing him some days. I'm sure it has something to do with matchups. They look at, what that pitcher, what he features. What might Sawinski be able to hit? Same way with these other guys. I mean, there are a lot of metrics and so on. But in terms of Sawinski specifically, I think they maybe they're at a crossroads with them. And I agree with you 100% because it certainly isn't for lack of trying that he wants so badly to perform to his fault it's like the weight of the world is on his shoulders at times, and rather than just going out there and relaxing. And that's when this idea comes into my mind, hey, Jack, we're putting you out there every day. I mean, maybe you say that we're putting you out there every day in left field. And you say to Tommy Pham, who's been struggling, Tommy, you're a veteran. You're going to sit for a week. We're going to need you to pinch hit. Maybe that's what you do. I don't know. And then the other option I'm sure is they've got to be considering, do we make a move? Do we get him out of here, get him back down to the minor leagues and let him play every single day and get hot, then bring him up? I don't know. A lot of stuff going on.
Greg, what did you make of Skeens' comments? I liked him a lot when he said, look, friendships and positive vibes don't win championships. I mean, I'd like to infer from that he's hoping that there's maybe some more tough love and accountability that goes on and not just, hey, we'll get him tomorrow or everything's cool and copacetic even though we're in last place and currently one of the worst teams in baseball.
Andrew, I could have written that for him. You and I and Chris have talked about this over the years. You know, this I've said this forever. It goes to the whole thing about clubhouse culture and atmosphere, and, you know, the guys get along and how great this is. That's bunk. I don't want guys getting along and happy when the team is losing. I want misery. And I think that's kind of what Skeens is saying. Like, so what? Yeah, we all get along. That's not going to win you games because you all get along. I've heard that forever. We've got a great – I hear it all the time. When the team starts to win, not just this team, but any team, and baseball or sports for that matter, man, we have a great locker room, great clubhouse. How often do you hear that when the team is losing? I don't, and I prefer it that way. I don't want guys, like I said, I don't want all patting each other on the back and all happy. And I want Kathy Bates locker rooms, clubhouses, misery.
Man, I didn't think we'd get that kind of a reference. I hope there. You know what? She could teach him how to swing a bat right now from that movie.
Yeah. She sure could.
I'd like Shelty to inflict some of that punishment on his guys who keep making outs on the bases, specifically at third base.
Oh, man. It's so frustrating. And it happened back-to-back games. And Reynolds, these are guys that
– and Valdez.
And it's not – again, it's not for lack of trying. And I think Valdez – that's what happens when you get caught up, I think, when you're struggling to find something. And here's Valdez. Great guy. Hard work. I mean, and we talked about this a week or two ago. Talked about this guy's got some pop. I said it, Andrew. I think you questioned it.
Oh, I definitely mocked it. I still mock it to some extent.
Okay, but we're seeing it. We're seeing what this guy's got. This guy has a clue when he's at home plate. You can see that. But when he's rounding second down 3-0 in the ninth inning, in his mind, he gets caught up in the excitement. Oh, I'm going to try and do something special instead of stop. There's no reason to move another 90 feet. And then we get caught up in this umpire, and I think he made a mistake. You know, my goodness, the guy, obviously something happened. The play seemed to be over. Why in the world the umpire looked like he was about ready to call time. It looked like his arms were moving. And then Ramirez, again, how smart that guy is, one of the great players in baseball, Jose Ramirez, doesn't give up himself. He's standing right there, slaps a tag on Valdez. But the bottom line, Valdez and the Pirates should never have been in that situation. Brian Reynolds the night before gets thrown out at third base on the double by Valdez off the wall and left. The same thing. And it snowballs when you're losing. And, you know, they need to get out of the funk. They need to get on a run. And, boy, no better time than to do it on the West Coast when you're looking at this, the next two series against the Angels and certainly the Dodgers, formidable foes, and you're
it's going, put up or shut up time right now, Brownie. You talked about you want misery when things aren't going well. It's either about to get a lot more miserable or they're about to snap out of it.
I agree. Yeah, this is it. I mean, this is it's time to put up or shut up, and I think the players know it. Everybody feels it. You know, go out there and win some ball games, and you'll feel a whole lot better about things.
Greg Brown, check him out in L.A., the Pirates and Angels tonight, Bailey Falter on the mound. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, guys.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.